Good morning. Hello, everyone. It's Coach MJ welcoming you here to our Wednesday Q&A. So excited. Today, we're going over my favorite module in the whole wide world. The best one. We've saved the best for last. Basic human needs. Save the best for last. In my opinion, this is what was missing from the No BS weight loss course all along. We finally got with the program. And here we are, basic human needs. So we are going to get started. Coach Dina is here. She's going to be in the chat and in the Q&A with you. She'll be saving some questions for me in the Q&A. We're going to talk about sleep. You're in for a treat, Jean. You know, we're going to talk about sleep. So excited. But I do have an amazing announcement. If y'all want to hear an amazing announcement. So we have a calendar on the website, nobswoman.com. It's under coaching, the coaching live coaching calendar, training calendar. So you have options to subscribe to our calendar. We also offer Zoom reminders and all the things that remind you that there is a live call a coming. So a lot of people don't love to download the calendar because they're like, I don't want everything crowding up my calendar. I do have my favorite calls, like MJ's Wednesday Q&As. I love those. And I love Kathy's call. And I love my maintenance call, whatever it is, the calls that you love the most. And I'm a teacher. I work in the middle of the day. I can't do daytime calls, but I want to come to the nighttime calls. Now, if you head over to nobswoman.com, under the coaching tab on the calendar, you can just add single events to your calendar. So if you are one of those people who is like, I don't want to subscribe to the whole calendar and I'm sick and tired of the Zoom reminders, because on that page, you can also change, you know, how many Zoom reminders you get to cut down on your emails. You can just like at the first of the month, run over to the website, put the ones in your calendar that you know you want to listen to. Or if you're like, I want to listen to this call, but it's not at a good time for me, go ahead and add it to your calendar. So when it pops up, you'll be like, I got to make sure I catch that replay because I really want to catch whatever replay that it is. And so you can do that. And once you do that, if you want to, you can even say no more Zoom reminders for calls. You can let us know. So that will also cut down on your emails. So, no, you don't have to change. If you're already subscribed to everything, you're totally fine. But yeah, I'm so excited though. Yeah, you don't have to do anything. If you're already subscribed, you're good to go. But if you want the ability to add individual ones, you can do that as well. And if you are like, I'm subscribed to the whole calendar, but I would like to only subscribe to individual events, you need to go to your calendar, whether you use Google or Microsoft or Apple, whatever you use, unsubscribe from our calendar. That'll pull everything off of your calendar. And then you can just subscribe to the individual events if you would rather do that. But if you're already subscribed, you're subscribed, no big deal. Just keep getting them all. So I'm very excited for that too. I am so excited for that. All right, basic human needs. So like I said at the beginning, this is what was missing all along from No BS, in my opinion. So, you know, water and sleep used to be like a four basic, but now we've kind of expanded it and moved it into the category of basic human needs. So water and sleep is in there, of course. Movement. We've never really talked about movement inside of No BS. Self-care. And positive self-talk, y'all. Who even thought that that was a basic human need? So I love the idea of looking at it that way. We're not going to spend a ton of time on water and sleep. Water and sleep are the unsung heroes that so many people discount for weight loss. But, you know, you can go listen to all the lessons. One thing that Corinne did kind of change is like 60 to 80 ounces of water. And you check by your urine, because some of us need more water than others. It depends on your sweat level, your activity level, just kind of what your body needs. So really you being in the driver's seat of how much water. She talks in the lessons about if you are a teacher, if you are a shift worker, if you are a nurse and you have trouble getting your water in, she gives you strategies in there to get your water in, which is amazing. And then she also talks about sleep and how to count time in the bed. Oh, water. One thing she, I wrote it down because it was hilarious. She's talking about so many people complain about how much you pee when you start to drink water. And she said, you're supposed to pee about every hour. And she said, the problem before is the reason it feels like you're peeing so much is because you've always been under peeing. I was like, well, there you go. You've been under peeing. And now you've got to, you know, you're peeing like a normal person when you start to incorporate water, which I thought that was amazing. And then with sleep, she talks a lot about how that goes hand in hand with urges, about how when you don't get enough sleep, your body is always looking for those little boosts of energies, and that carby kind of sugary food is the fastest way to give you a boost of energy if you're tired. She talks about time in bed counts and all of that kind of stuff. And so, and then she talked about, which I thought was so interesting, you need to find out what your baseline for sleep is. So, you know, some of us can get away with 6.5, 7 hours, and some of us need 8 hours or more in order to feel well rested and all the other kind of stuff. And I like the way that she talked about it being a baseline. But I want to spend more time because we've talked about water and sleep. I mean, I think it is self-explanatory. She does talk about what counts as water. I want y'all to all go listen to that. But I want to spend more time on the last three, because it is something that we have not really touched on inside of No BS. And I think it is so important. And it's the ones that, you know, we don't think about as much. So the first one is self-care. And she talks about the different types of self-care, right? Like micro self-care, which is like in the moment, like right there, if you've got a second. So it is taking a deep breath, even pausing when you are redirecting a thought. Like if you notice a shitty thought and you redirect it somewhere else, that is a moment of self-care. I had not thought about it that way. Even going just the micro could be light a candle, right? Just takes a second. Things that just take a second. So in the chat, because I love to use these chats because I got a lot of y'all here. I want you to put in the chat what you consider micro self-care moments. So these are things that take a second, like a second or 2 seconds, not long at all. Putting on hand lotion. Yes, a deep breath. Because now when people are listening to the replays, they're able to pull up the chat and see all of y'all's suggestions, which I love. A yoga stretch. Just turning on her electric fireplace in her office. Putting on chapstick. Looking out the window. Hugging my dog. Lavender-scented cuticle oil. I love that. Petting my cat. Putting on a heated throw. I love it. Thanking myself. Maureen, that's a good one. Putting on your favorite perfume. Looking out and seeing the birds. Like, did y'all ever think that was self-care? I don't think I ever thought of it as self-care, but that's a micro, something that you can do in just a moment that just gives you that little bit of boost, and it gives you a moment. Look in the mirror and smiling. Oh, taking off my bra. Myra, I'm right there with you. And then the next one is quickie self-care. So that's like a minute or two. If you've got a couple of minutes, some of you put lotion here. Corinne mentioned it in the quickie one. Read one page of a book. How many of y'all would have a minute, like you love to read for fun, but you always say, I don't have time to read a book, and you can just read one page of a book. Like what would it look like to give yourself permission to just read one page? I hadn't thought about that. I was like, that is such a good idea. Such a good idea. Play a song. Song that makes you feel good. Or text a friend or text one of your kids or text your spouse. Just shoot off a quick text. Something that you could do in just a couple of minutes. I mean, stretching, of course, like a little bit of a, you know, you could give yourself time to get up and move around. That sort of just kind of get up from your desk. would be really good. That would be something you can do it, pretty quick, just a minute or two. For me, it was like making my coffee at night. That's me taking care of myself in the morning. So it doesn't have to even just make you feel good right now. Well, it kind of does though, because whenever I put my coffee on and I go in there and I clean the coffee pot and I do all that kind of stuff, I always am like, I'm just so thankful I'm doing that for myself. And it could even be, y'all, I mean, we could even expand it a little bit more. Like, and I do this for myself as well. If there's dishes, and I'm like heating up my lunch or whatever, I'll go ahead and throw those in the dishwasher, because I know the version of me at 5 o'clock is not gonna wanna do it. And I count that as self-care. That little micro just takes a minute or two, or maybe wipe off my countertop. So when I come out at the end of my day from work, I have a clean countertop without crumbs on it. Like, I love that. I love that. Maybe even making your bed, like throwing the sheets in the washer in the morning and the dryer, and then making your bed. It takes like 5 minutes, and then sliding into that warm bed. Like, it doesn't, it's that several moments along the way of the day, but it feels amazing. Work on a puzzle. I love that. Make your bed in the morning. I don't make my bed in the morning. Y'all know that. I don't do that because I'm just gonna get back in it. Lee, getting up from my desk and going to pee, even though I'm not finished with the job I'm doing. Waiting too long so that when I sneeze, ... is not self-care. I love that so much. Quick wipe down of a countertop with a great smelling cleaner. And then you have big ass self-care, like a girl's trip, going to your favorite workout class, getting your nails done, your hair done, a massage, taking a long bath, like all of those things. And I am reminded when I'm thinking about self-care, I'm reminded of, I was listening to a podcast with the amazing Bev Aaron, who is actually Corinne's coach. Corinne does have a coach, y'all. Bev Aaron is it. She was my instructor at the life coach school. I listen to every word comes out of her damn mouth if I can. But she did a podcast one time in her private group about self-care. And she said, ask yourself, does it feel lovely? Because she said a lot of times she felt like people, she was talking to men and women, but people do things that are on the self-care box, the check. And it doesn't feel lovely. And so you do it and it's like it just falls flat for you. So, for instance, I hate to get my nails done because I always counted that as self-care. It does not feel lovely. I am antsy. I'm wanting to get out of there. I like the way that they look. I love going. I hate sitting there. It is like I would rather do anything else. And so I was like, you know what? I'm pulling that off my self-care list. It's a chore. And it's something I just do. And I like the outcome of it, but I don't love the act of it. I hate a bath, y'all. I hate to take a bath. Give me a shower. I love a hot shower. Now, that would be self-care for me, but a bath doesn't feel lovely. If you're going to get massages for like a, because you've got like a health issue and you're not going just to relax and like you're sore as fuck for 2 days after and you'd kind of dread going. Don't count that as self-care because it doesn't feel lovely. Yet going to the sauna, you love that. Yeah, it just, but like really thinking about like, because we, so many people, like I enjoy doing this and it just brings me joy and it's like my self-care and we think of it as taking care of ourselves. And like getting my nails done is taking care of me, but I don't count it as self-care because it doesn't feel lovely to me. So just think about like, what feels lovely, and that is what you count as self-care. A face mask. I love that. I go thrifting once a month with my friend. It's my favorite thing. My friends and I go to dinner every Friday night. I love doing that. Shaving my leg. Girl, I haven't shaved my legs since about October. It's been a minute. It's been a minute. Then we've got movement. So we have all heard the expression of you cannot outrun your mouth. And so you cannot exercise your way to make up for overeating. When we're talking about movement, we're talking about movement for health, for flexibility, for bone growth. You know, I got the osteoporosis. I got to get my ass moving because I am wanting to take care of myself. Corinne said it's an investment in you. It's like an investment in your future, basically. When you get up and you move, it is investing in yourself. And a long time ago in the membership, somebody said that they felt like activity and movement was a really good accountability partner because when she would, it made her pause because she was like, I would get up in the morning, I would go out for a walk if it was like cold and icky. And I'd be like, girl, you do not need to overeat. You have done got your ass out there in the freezing cold and walked and like sweated and all that other stuff. And it would help her make better decisions throughout the day. And I think that that's true as well. I find that for myself as well. It is a great accountability partner. So, and then she talks about what so many of us experience with exercise. You might not love it. You might not ever love it. But Coach Betsy always says, I'm waiting for the day that I jump up, I'm ready to go exercise. Some people will love exercise. Some people will love the exercise once they get there. And some people will never love exercise. It just won't happen. I always am reminding my daughter, she was a dancer, so that's exercise, but she decided she wanted to be a runner and she signed up for a race and a half marathon, actually. And she had to train for it. And like about 3 weeks into the training, she was like, this sucks. I don't like this. I do not want to be a runner. This is not my jam. Now, she could have quit, but she was like, I'm committed. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And she slogged through like the whole training because she didn't love it. But she was like, I'm going to finish this because I'm committed to it. And she said, when we left home to go drive to the race, she said, I'm leaving this neighborhood as a runner and I'm coming back as someone who will never run again. And so, she was like, that was not her thing. So you have to find your thing as well. If you don't love running, don't run. If you don't love walking on a treadmill, find a way to walk outside or walk in your, you know, go to a mall if you still have a mall. Do something like that. Wanda, in her last name, Bronner, in our membership, she swims. Now, I don't want to swim. I don't like that, but she loves swimming. I posted a comment on her post the other day in Facebook about she'd gotten back to the pool. And one of my favorite memories ever of camp, in-person camp, was one morning I got up really early and I went down to the lobby to get some coffee. And Wanda was swimming back and forth, getting her laps in. And it brought me so much joy to see her do that. And so I always love to see it when she gets back to the pool. And then, you know, we talk about Mickey Jack, who didn't have a ton of mobility when she joined No BS. And her goal was to just get 100 steps more because she was not in a place where she could walk on a treadmill or go walk around the block. She started where she was with the abilities that she had, and she figured out how to level it up every single month. And then she let us celebrate with her inside of Facebook. And then when, guess what would happen when she didn't post? We'd be like, where you at, Mickey? What happened to Mickey? You still walking? What are you doing? So she used Facebook as an accountability partner. You know, she's the entire membership as her exercise accountability partner. And so it is finding what you like, whether it's chair yoga, I go to Pilates, whether it's walking, whatever it is, just start to move. It improves your mood. It could be a great accountability partner. It is an investment in your future. It is an investment in being able to get in and out of the floor with those grandkids that you don't have yet, or nieces and nephews that you don't have yet. It's the ability to be able to take care of yourself and bathe for longer, and your ability to be able to get in and out of a chair for as long as you can. So it's not about right now. It is about really think about, like, think about that 75, 80-year-old version of you. I bet she wishes, you know, or she's grateful if you're up and moving some that you took those steps. And even if you have limited mobility now, you need to do as much as you can to preserve what you have. Yet your ability to put your socks on. Girl, my mama can't put on her socks. She has to use a lift chair because she did not do anything. And now she got to, every time, she's got to go to the bathroom, she better not wait because she got to stand herself up. And that sucks too, because I sat in one of them chairs whenever I had my shoulder surgery. She had one that she didn't use anymore. And I dropped the fucking remote and I had to pee and my legs was up in the air and I couldn't reach the remote. I'd call somebody. I was like, this sucks. This sucks. Cause I was like, I am fucking stuck. My legs are up in the air. I'm about to pee all over myself. It was the middle of the night. I had to call my husband to come and get me and hand me the damn remote. We want to stay out of those things if we can. So, yeah, that was a, it was a, I was like, this is, well, this way down there, my arm was in a sling and it was over there. I was like, well, I am stuck. She called us one time, her power went out and her legs was up in the air. I mean, what you gonna do? So we want the ability to get in and out of a chair as long as we can. And then finally, my favorite, self-talk. Y'all know I love self-talk. It's my favorite thing. She gives us a three-step process to change your thoughts. But I'm also going to say this. If beating ourselves up all the way down the scale worked, we would all be topless, sitting on a beach, drinking a Mai Tai, living our best damn life. Because we have all lost weight. I have. I'm sure 99.9% of you on this call has beaten ourselves into a smaller size pant. Sure have. I've done it. You never gonna lose weight. This sucks. You think you're ever gonna lose weight like this? You better not eat that. It doesn't work. We've got to do something different. We think that it works. We keep telling ourselves it works because for so many of us, it did get us to the size. And what happened with our trampoline weight? We got there. It was like being on trampoline, just jump right back up. Not only did we jump back up, we was picked up a few extra as we was jumping up. And that is not what you want for weight loss. The goal of weight loss, the unspoken goal, is to lose weight and not gain it back. It's never been to lose weight. Because we don't have so much fun losing the weight that we're like, I can't wait to lose all this weight and then just pile it all back on so I can lose it all again, find the next thing. No. So the beat down works to get us there. For a lot of us, it did for me, but it did not help me keep it off, which is the ultimate goal of weight loss. So we've got to do something different. We have to. And so this is the different. This is the biggest difference that you're going to find in, like, that's what really separates No BS from everybody else. Because we talk about the one thing that is going to keep the weight off when you lose it. So, and it is not pie in the sky thoughts, y'all. We're not going from, I suck, I'm never going to do this, whatever. To, oh, I've got it all figured out. I'm gonna lose all my weight, feel amazing. That's not how it works. That's not how self-talk works. And so Corinne gave us her sentence. I'm figuring this out and I don't have to talk shitty to myself to do it. I love that sentence. So what you do, there's a three-step process. First, you catch the shitty thought. You catch it. Like a, you just hear it, right? You just hear what it is. Fucked up again. Overate again. Never gonna figure this out if you keep eating like this. Shitty thought. Then you pause and think of a slightly better way of saying it. And remember, we just told ourselves that this pause is self-care. So it's a twofer. You get self-talk and a little bit of self-care just wrapped up together. Two basic human needs for the price of one. So you fucked up again. Let's use that old shitty thought. You pause and you think of a little bit better way of saying it. I've made mistakes in the past and it's always worked out. Maybe this will too. Doesn't sound amazing. Not promising yourself a load of bullshit, but it sounds a little bit better than it did. And then finally, this was my favorite thing. Act like a woman. Act like the woman who respects herself. What? So the question you ask yourself is, how would a woman who loves herself handle this situation? So good. Because you don't have to love yourself. You can just try on somebody else's love. If I did love myself, how would I handle this? Or how would someone who loves themselves handle this? So good. For me, it was like, what would I say to my kids in this moment? Because, you know, I wouldn't ever talk shitty to them, but I would talk shitty to myself all day long. So that was the question that helped me get in that head space to be able to, you know, shift my thought a little bit. But this is also a great one. It's what you have to try on the different questions for yourself. If my kids were going through this, what would I say to them? And so then Corinne's thing is, if I was a woman who loved myself, how would she handle the situation? How would a woman who loves herself handle the situation? Such a great question. And then she talks a lot about how the thoughts aren't going to feel 100% true. The old shitty thought's going to feel true. I fucked up again. It feels really true. And then, like, it feels 100% true. Right? And then you've got, like, I've made mistakes in the past and it's always worked out for me, or it usually works out for me. Now that feels like, you know, 70% true, but there's still some truth in it. And you have to be able to hear those old shitty thoughts and just turn it down a little bit. And you can hold both of them at the same time. You can keep hearing, I fucked up. Yeah, but I've made plenty of mistakes in my life and I've just been able to keep going. I'm still here. It doesn't feel like, you know, I've got this. I'm the best. I'm figuring it out. Doesn't feel like that, but it feels a hell of a lot better than I fucked up again. So that's module 6, y'all. The best. The best, the best, the best. So questions. Anyone have questions? Post them in the Q&A because, you know, I missed a lot in that chat. Y'all was going, going. Why do I feel more groggy when I get over 7 hours of sleep? I don't know. That's probably something like physiological or something. I've been going to bed by 10, up by 6, a few times to pee, barely get 7 hours according to Fitbit. If I get more, I'm tired and groggy, never wake up feeling rested. But at 7 hours, you feel good. Well, that is your sleep baseline. That's what Corinne said we all need to figure out. So your sleep baseline is 7 hours. Because at 7 hours, you're like, I wake up, I feel rested, I feel amazing, it's great. So you have found your sleep baseline. Ashley said, what tips do you have for someone with small children so getting sleep in is tricky? Yes, kids don't sleep through the night yet. Corinne even talked about that. So in module 6. So there are folks who, for whatever reason, are not going to be able to get that sleep. That's just the season you're in. But what you're going to have to do, Ashley, is you're going to have to do a lot of more of that self-talk, because your body is going to be looking for energy, and it's going to offer you up that food is a great place to get it. So you're going to notice that you've got more urges. So number one is you don't want to be no hydration and no sleep. So double down on water, because water also helps with urges. So you want to make sure that you're getting your water in. And then just know when those thoughts come up and you have those urges, you can simply say, I'm just tired. I'm actually not hungry right now. I'm going to get to bed whenever I can. Make sure that you're taking naps if you can. Make sure you're resting when your kids are resting if you can. When they go to bed, make sure you're getting in the bed when they go to bed to get some sleep, to try to get as much sleep as you can. But it's just a season. And then make sure that your, you know, carbs do give you energy. Make sure you're including some carbs in your plan, because that is important, because you do need more energy. So make sure that you're including those foods. Jackie says my mind whirs and I can't go to sleep. So try some melatonin, try some of that stuff if you want to, and then lay there. Because even if you're not resting, like falling asleep, you're resting your body. You've taken the weight off of your body. You can sit there and deep breathe. You can listen to like the Calm app and all that kind of stuff and try to get some sleep that way. Yes. Anonymous says, for me, negative self-talk doesn't even feel like negative self-talk until a coach points it out. You know why? Because it's what we're used to. We don't even realize it's negative. Such a great like awareness that you've got with that. It's very sneaky. It is because it sounds so true. And it sounds normal because it's what we've always thought. Love that. You mention a lot when those thoughts come up. I seriously don't even hear them. What is a pre-step one to notice this? Okay. First of all, if you're in an accountability group, I would suggest Marco Polo. If you want an accountability group, you can head over to the website and get like our template for posting in the Facebook group. Post in the Facebook group. I use Marco Polo with my accountability partners because a lot of times what happens is I will say the shitty sentence that I don't realize it's a shitty sentence. Then my accountability partners will be like, girl, did you just hear what you just said? Go back and listen to that. Or you said XYZ. Like, is that even true? And they'll call me out on it, which is awesome. And then negative self. So then the other thing you can do is just write down thoughts. Like when I overeat, this is what I think. Because usually when you write it down, it is like your thoughts will come out and you can go back and look at them and be able to catch them. So any suggestions on how to get out of your head about talking to yourself like someone who loves herself? Doesn't feel like who's full of herself. I'm trying to make sure I understand. So you feel like, I don't know, do you feel like it's false? Tell me a little bit more, Luann. I'm having trouble hearing my thoughts when I'm grab-assing cooking dinner. Put in a mint or a piece of gum, Laura, and you'll hear the thoughts, but you won't be able to put anything in your mouth because you got something in your mouth. That's a great way to do it. And also keep a little notepad, like even a little sticky note, and just write down as the thoughts come up. When you notice that you're wanting to pick that thing up, do that and just write them down so you can catch them. And then you can figure out once you're aware of them, you'll start to hear them. Kira says, I have really looked at my data and found the problem. The problem. I love it. My overeating dinner is all coming from winding down from the day. Yes. I also get in the conversation of whoever I'm eating with and really zone out and don't mindfully eat dinner. I know it's because I'm tired at the end of the day, mentally tired. Yes. I'm also enjoying dinner conversation and just not paying attention to what goes in my mouth. I always plan at the beginning of the day and have the strategies I want to try at dinner. And by the time dinner comes around, I've long forgotten those ideas and just autopilot. Can you and maybe even some of the folks in the chat have some tips I can try to kick myself in the ass to be more present at dinner with my hunger and enough? I got the perfect one for you. Eat off a small plate. Just serve yourself a tiny amount so that you sporadically have to check in with yourself and to remember to get the small plate, set a timer on your phone. Or you can even leave your small plate out like where you typically will serve dinner so that you'll remember to grab that small plate. Because then you can enjoy your conversation. You can just be sitting there and you don't really have to pay attention to every bite, but you're going to serve yourself in that initial serve such a small amount that you have to stop and check in with yourself. And then you can decide, do I want to go get a little bit more and get you another small portion? And that'll give you the ability to check in between. But if you're talking about reminding yourself, to even use the small plate, set a reminder on your phone for sure. What if you really hate some body part? I can't find anything neutral to think that's believable. Saying I have a stomach doesn't do it for me. Not helpful. Well, first of all, we are going to be talking about, because right now we're talking about like shitty thoughts that you have. Next month is all about self-love. This it's your month. We even have Corinne 365 talking about when you have issues with specific body parts, all of that other kind of stuff. So you can even, if that doesn't feel, doesn't do it for you, you could say, like, my stomach digests my food, which is very true. My stomach is starting to send me hunger signals, which is going to help me lose weight. Start thinking about things that your stomach does for you. And maybe that will help a little bit. But, you know, I have a stomach. I don't know what you want it to do for you. It's better than beating yourself down. Because, I mean, I have a stomach, probably does feel neutral. It doesn't feel amazing, though. And I think what you're wanting is an amazing thought. And I don't know that that's going to happen at first. I have a stomach. It's just, I have a stomach. Here is my stomach. And then, but then you can start to list out things that it does for you. So Luann says, she's back. Sometimes I'm trying to talk nice to myself, I feel like I'm so full of myself, like I'm just telling myself lies to make myself feel better about fucking up, almost like I'm being condescending to myself. That's then the thought that you're coming up with is not helpful for you. And remember, Luann, we're not trying to go to rainbows and daisies. Because the truth is, I fucked up. I have made mistakes in the past, and it usually works out all right. That's not pie in the sky. That is not pie in the sky. It is not amazing. You know, it's not like this amazing, amazing thought. And Luann, give me an example of like one thought that you think, and then like the op, like what you are trying to tell yourself in the moment, that feels like maybe we can come up, with some better thoughts for you. Questions? Any questions? Y'all ain't got no questions? And a lot of times, I mean, I do know what you're saying, Luann, because a lot of times, like, people are like, it feels like I'm letting myself off the hook, you know, which you're not. For me, disappointment is the best one. Like, disappointment is the best feeling for me. I love it because, like, when somebody's disappointed in me, it makes me want to do better. It may not be for you. So a lot of times my thoughts are, I wish I would have made a different decision, but I'm learning and I'm going to figure out how to do different next time or whatever. Like, that little piece of disappointment always makes me want to do better. But it doesn't do it for everybody. That's what's so amazing about, like, just this whole thought work thing. It's because you try your own thoughts on for size. And what works for me may not work for you. So, which is why we always give you, like, these huge amounts of thoughts, right? Like, we keep throwing out thoughts, and you put them on like a pair of shoes and see how they feel. All right, questions. Any questions? Y'all ain't got no questions about nothing. Y'all are doing no BS and it's all good and ready to go. Somebody asked, does Corinne post her 365s on the videos if we haven't downloaded it? No, it is only on in podcast form. Because we want y'all to be able to find the videos of the calls. Because if we put every Corinne 365 up there, it would be difficult to sort through. So we want to make it easy for you. Diane said, I've had six surgeries, so I had to look at each one as to what they offered me. Saved me from cancer, the ability to get pregnant, saved me from digestive problems. That's a really good way to do it, for sure. I want to learn how to combat the thought I can start over tomorrow. So we're not even going to combat it because it's coming, right? Like, we ain't got to fight anything. It's still coming, and it will probably come for a long time. So for me, the thought, I can start over tomorrow. I'm like Corinne. So I'm like, no nonsense. Girl, you done told yourself that how many times now? You never do. Yeah, you're going to start over tomorrow with extra weight. How are you helping yourself tomorrow? Like, for me, I'm straight talk. So for me, that is motivating, and it does not feel demeaning, or it doesn't feel this feels like what I would say to my girlfriend. Girl, you know you ain't gonna say, you said that. You said that last week. You ain't doing it. You didn't do it last time. You ain't gonna do it this time. Like that feels to me. But for you, if you're like, eh, that's a little harsh. I don't talk to myself. Like that doesn't feel loving to me. You can say, how about I just finish the day strong today and see what tomorrow brings? Or you could say something like, how can I set tomorrow up, my tomorrow version of me up for success? Or just ask yourself a question. Do I want to set up myself tomorrow with maybe extra weight if I do this right now? Does that really feel loving to her? How can I set her up for success? Like really get out of your head and decide. I mean, you're putting that, whatever extra you ate today, you are putting it on your tomorrow self to lose. Does she want to do that? Is she ready to do that work? Probably not. And that's how I would approach it. How many bonuses come up after our first 30 days? Great question, Jamie. So after your first 30 days in No BS, you unlock all of the No BS subgroups. So you're in the main Facebook group now. After 30 days, you will unlock all of the subgroups. You can join those. You also unlock our pathways and bonus courses, and you'll find stuff like the Regain Solution, Scale Drama, a drinking course, trust in your body, more things about like how to think differently. All those sorts of things are there, and that will unlock for you at 30, day 31. So after your past 30 days, that's what it is. Where do I see the subgroups? The subgroups are all under community on our website, nobswoman.com, under community. And then you'll see the Facebook. You click on Facebook, and then you'll see all the subgroups at the bottom there. My sleep sucks, Karen fucking Brent says. I'm working on it with my doctors. I'm proud that I'm getting help, but being overly tired has made me more negative than normal and as whiny as a toddler. Yeah, Corinne even talks about that like in the No BS course. So it's like, you do all of those things, like, you know, all of these things that we're talking about. We always say self-care is selfish and all that other kind of stuff. But when we really are taking care of our basic human needs, it does translate into us being kinder to people, right? So that's, I mean, that's the goal. And you're more negative than normal. You just need to watch it, Karen. You've got to notice and recognize you're probably, as you're sleepy, going to have to do a lot more of that self-talk work. You're going to have a lot more shitty thoughts to catch. And also give yourself permission to be a little bit like, be like, I know I'm this way because I'm just tired. Can you give compassion to that negative, whiny toddler? Be like, girl, I know. I'm just really, really tired. Maybe you're gonna have to apologize more. I'm just really tired right now. I'm working on it with my doc. Don't worry. The old Karen fucking Brent, who's well rested, is coming back. But for now, like, this is just kind of where I am. And do that self-talk work. Really work on catching those thoughts. And I know you're a writer, you know, and Facebook and stuff. Get all of that out on paper. And that might help you, you know, get it out before it comes out of your mouth. I know, Lord help everyone when I have energy. That's true. Why do I still feel down on myself when I already have lost 70 pounds? Sometimes I think I just have too much weight to lose. I know it's crazy, but it's a struggle for me. It's not crazy at all. It's absolutely not crazy. Takes a while for your brain to kind of catch up with where your new body is. So that's totally normal. But here is the thing. Sometimes I think I just have too much weight to lose. So what you're telling me is, in that sentence, is it's not all the time, but sometimes I still have shitty thoughts that tell me I have too much weight to lose. Here's the thing. That sentence is not a problem. It is just a sentence. And that is when you use this three-step process. That's your old shitty thought. You're going to catch it. And you're going to say, yes, I still have weight to lose, but it's 70 pounds less than when I started. I'm already well on my way. I got the habits I know that are going to get me there. I got all the help I need right here in OBS. Whatever it is, that thought will continue to come up. It's a habit thought. Just like when we grab stuff whenever we're walking in the kitchen, or we always grab this one specific thing to eat. It's a habit eat. These are just habit thoughts. And there's nothing wrong with them. And there's nothing wrong with you for having them. It's just, are you going to sit there and stew on them when they do come up? Or are you going to use this 3-step process? Be like, I caught you. Caught you, old shitty. Here's my old shitty. Old shitty. I caught you. Now, what am I going to do with you? I'm going to level you up. I always tell this story, like, it's been, oh my gosh, probably a year ago in maintenance, you know, living my best no BS life. And I like remember one Friday for weigh-in day. I was, cause I weigh every day, but it was Friday. And I remember like my very first thought of the morning, like I hadn't even put my glasses on. My feet hadn't even hit the floor yet. And I thought it was, and I remember it so clearly. Let's go get on a scale, see how fat you are today. I'm like, the fuck do you come from? Where the hell you been? I hadn't seen you around here in a long time. And I just kind of dismissed it. I think crap about myself all the time. I have to do this 3-step process all the time. Those sentences are going to come up. I can choose to believe them. Or I can just tell myself what's really true. And for you, it's like, you got 70, you know what? You might have weight to lose still, but it's 70 pounds less than when you started, which is very true, which is very true. It's as true or more true than I have too much weight to lose. We're gonna go with the facts. I love that. That was such a good question. Luann said, it's more like when I'm giving myself credit for doing stuff for myself, like working out, making my plan, meal prepping. I've tried, look at how much I've done and make a list, but it feels still like it wasn't enough. I prefer that straight talk too. No fluffers. Yeah. And Corinne even talks about this in the course. It may not feel true at first. It may not. And that's okay too. You just keep trying. You keep reminding yourself of everything that you've done. That's all you do. And it's like, I've done all these things. You're giving yourself credit for working out, making your plan, meal prepping. And you, your old shitty thought is it still wasn't enough. And your level up thought could be, it's a fuck ton more than I used to do. If you like no fluff, there you go. It's in your head. So you can say it wherever you want to say it because it's in your head. Or you can say it out loud. But that's a great one. It's what I, you know, it's what I know I need to do to lose weight, which is my ultimate goal. I keep telling myself it's not enough, but it sure shit feels good. I love that. Why are there so many less coaching calls these days? I don't think there are less coaching calls these days. I mean, we haven't really, there's not really that many less. We actually added the mid-month reboot, you know, that we used to have. I mean, that we've added in the last few months to get you straight in the middle of the month. Corinne is now taking over all of the Sunday calls. We used to do calls. It might feel like less, Marcy, because we used to do calls like, 1 week we do a call on Tuesday, and 1 week we do a call on Wednesday, and some weeks we do a call on Thursday, and now we do them all on Tuesday evening. So it may feel like there's less. Last night I missed, let's see, what do I deserve other than food? Oh, last night I did the nighttime eating and drinking call, and somebody had a thought that they were trying to level up, and it was like, what do you tell yourself when you say, I deserve this food? And I just started listing out shit I really deserve. I deserve to lose weight. I deserve to go to bed proud. I deserve to fit in my smaller size britches. I deserve to keep promises to myself. I deserve to go to bed not bloated. I deserve to be a person who keeps my plan. I deserve to feel amazing about myself. Like, just start listing everything else you deserve, because it's a lot. No legacy, Queen's Club calls, etc. I'm telling y'all, I was working on that for y'all today. Just stay tuned for that. How do I replace the thought that this doesn't matter? It's such a small thing, it won't make a difference. Everything makes a difference. Everything adds up. I mean, it just does. I mean, think about what, if you've ever had a leak. And the water is coming one drop at a time. Drip, drip, drip. Pretty soon that bucket's gonna overflow. And it, you know what? Maybe it doesn't matter. But how many times, have you said it doesn't matter and then you just keep going? I keep telling myself this one thing doesn't matter, but I know this creates a snowball for me. It's never just one thing. It's never just one thing. What topic will be covered in the February courses? We are doing lose 5 pounds with love, self-love. Let's see. Sarah says, I'm in the zone right now. I've been in no BS for just over a year and a half and found myself in the holy grail of feeling really inspired, motivated, and proud right now after a year of major hot and cold swings and motivation, mostly cold. I'm finding myself waiting for the other shoe to drop. My lack of trust and faith in myself is very apparent. Any practical tips to keep propelling the motivation zone and build trust in myself? First of all, congratulations and ride the fuck out of it, Sarah. I think that's amazing. The truth is, we're human and it may wane some. What you want to do right now is get a list of thoughts that you think about your plan, about following your plan, about stopping it enough, about all that kind of stuff. So, if the motivation does wane, you have a list of sentences that created that motivation for you. Because it's not no BS that's creating the motivation. It is whatever you're thinking about no BS right now, and yourself, and the plans, and the following of them, and doable hunger, and all the things. So, you want to create like a thought book, a thought notebook of all the amazing thoughts you're thinking. Because we know that those thoughts work. We know that they work for you. So we're gonna capture those and write them down to pull them out when the motivation does wane. And here's the thing. You're like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Here's your level up for that. My motivation may wane at some point, but I am preparing for that day. And I am building habits that don't really require motivation. I am becoming who I want to be. I am building consistency and commitment for the times when motivation wanes. But I'm going to ride this bitch wave as long as I can. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it. There's that. Michelle, I feel like I'm strong-arming myself when I'm changing a habit. It feels totally like ass, but I do it anyway because I know it will get better. I try to talk nice to myself, but while I'm working on a new behavior, is this how I should do it? My new behavior I'm working on is not eating over my feelings. It just sucks because it takes longer and it's not getting easier because it's different than working on enough that happens more often than sitting with my feelings. Okay, so I want you to go to the website under video replays. And find, excuse me, Kathy's, just type in Kathy in the search bar, and all of her how to feel the hard stuff without eating calls will come up for you. In there, you're gonna find a lot of tools and practical, like calming things that you can do in the moment other than eating. Because what is happening is it sounds like you're kind of white knuckling without putting anything else in place. You've taken away your coping mechanism. But you've not put another coping mechanism in place, which is why it feels like ass. Now, Michelle, it's not gonna feel great. I'm just gonna tell you, you're not gonna be like, oh, this is the most amazing. Like, this could be self-care for me because it feels so amazing. It's not gonna feel great. That's first of all. But you can make it easier by the way you speak to yourself. You can make it easier by having other tools for yourself. It can also be made easier with a hobby or something else that you find joy in. Maybe it's not as big of a dopamine hit as a piece of chocolate, but it could be something that helps take the edge off of that urge. So find some of those self-care, like things that you can do, whether it's like knitting or painting or crocheting, or I don't know. And those all sound like lame. Reading a book, turning on a movie, whatever it is that kind of brings you joy and might turn that urge down a little bit. But that is why it feels like ass. Because you have not given yourself another tool in place of the food. You've taken away your passy or your whoobie. But you don't have a plan to insert something else. Because when you take away the only thing that has ever you've ever really used to comfort yourself or to soothe yourself, and you just like you be jonesing then for the one tool you got. So you need a toolbox. So whether it's just taking a few deep breaths, getting up, walking around your living room for a few minutes, just saying anything like, can I just wait 30 minutes and then just see how I feel. And then when the urge keeps coming up, you're like, you know what? It's only 15 minutes left. I'm going to reassess in 15 minutes. I'm going to be fine for 15 minutes. So you can try that. Lee says, I have started baking more again. I am good at it and I am having trouble stopping at enough when it tastes so good. This is also one of the things I tend to eat when I'm not hungry. Help me with self-talk to change this. Calling myself a dumbass is not working. No, it's not. It's perfect because you're baking. Best thought ever. I can have this anytime I want. Because hell, I can bake it. You could take some of it and put it in the freezer. Yeah, you said I don't want to stop baking. Yeah, you don't need to stop baking. Figure out a way to do it. When you bake the things you love, put them in a harder to reach place so that you can't just walk by. Like, don't leave them on the countertop, put them away. If you only want to have a couple, put the rest in the freezer. And then remind yourself, yeah, it tastes amazing because I made it. So I know it tastes amazing and I can make it again tomorrow if I want to. This is not a thing that I can't get. I can get it anytime I want. Is there a point your body just settles at a weight? I've been doing no BS for 8 or 9 weeks now, and I've lost a half a pound. I don't have a lot of weight I want to lose, but I'm trying every day to be positive. Andrea, make sure you are doing doable hunger. Write in to ask coaches and put your food plans in there. Let us help you and make sure that you are. You know, really focusing on doable hunger because that's exactly where it's at. And then, you know, you might be at goal weight. I'm not sure. But let us help you give us your weight, how much weight you've lost, write a few like sample food plans in there and let us walk through that with you. And you can have a back and forth with a coach in that way. Excuse me. Jackie says, I'm not sure I eat enough during the day. I know this sounds weird. I sometimes hear what others eat and I don't eat nearly as much. Can I send the daily info to ask coaches and get some advice? Yes, you can. I just said that for the other way. But here's the thing. What I eat in a day is not what you eat in a day. What you eat in a day is not what Coach Dina eats in a day. The scale is going down a half a pound to 2 pounds a week. If you are not getting, you know, crazy hungry and you're stopping at enough, it's enough for you. Like compare and just, you know, compare is the thief of joy. Isn't that what they say? But really ask yourself those questions. Am I pretty sure I'm at hunger and enough? And if you are and you're losing weight, then you're probably fine. When I get anxious, my brain sort of shuts down. I get sleepy and kind of stuck. I recognize this pattern, But I'm trying to find a way to talk to myself that isn't being mean or judging myself for being lazy. Yeah. So again, Kathy Hartman, How to Feel the Hard Stuff Without Eating. That's exactly what she talks about. Like, what happens when your brain sort of goes offline? Because it does happen sometimes, and it's very difficult to access the thoughts that we have. So when you're feeling anxious, sometimes you do have to recognize the feeling. You may not even hear the thoughts, but you recognize the feeling of anxiety or anxiousness. Then you can, put your hand on your heart. You can do some stretches. She's got all kinds of stuff in there for you to try to bring that anxiety down so that you can access your thoughts. So what you're describing, Dawn, is so normal, especially for an emotion like anxiety that tends to shut you down. So you want to utilize some of those tools that Kathy talks about so that you can get to a place where you can hear your thoughts, because sometimes we can't access it. We can't access it. Like, I want you to think about, like, back way in the way back day when we were running from our life from a saber-toothed tiger, our brain went offline. I mean, that was a fear. We did instinctively what we knew to do to keep us safe. We weren't thinking a thought like, oh, I should grab my family photos. Well, they didn't have photos, but whatever. You weren't thinking. That's normal that your brain shuts down and goes offline and you just go into what has always worked. So for you, it's like shutting down and you just kind of, you get stuck. You just don't do anything. You freeze. And so for whatever reason, that's the mechanism. Shutting down when you feel anxiety, freezing has become your mechanism to keep you safe, and you need to turn that down a little bit. That's a great question. Holly says, my husband just started V-Shred. I don't even know what that is, but I don't think I want to either. It sounds sucky. I'm trying to be supportive. However, when he's talking carbs and calories, I have a bit of difficulty keeping my eyes from rolling. I'm trying to eat things with him by thinking that they are healthy level ups, but I don't want to get into diet mentality. He's dropped weight fast. Yeah, well, first of all, he's a man, and then he's cut out an entire food group, carbs, which women need. So yes, he has. I also don't want to eat spaghetti by myself all week. I mount when cooked if I'm eating alone. Any suggestions on being myself yes supported? Yes, I have a friend. I always tell this story, like 2 summers ago, I guess it was. One of my best friends, there's a group of five of us. We all have matching tattoos. Like, they were tight, right? They know what I do for a living. And she cornered me in a pool and talked to me for 30 minutes about Whole30 and how amazing it is. And I should try it. And I was like, you want to talk about wanting to roll my eyes? I wanted to say, bitch, I mean, geez, you know what I do for a living, right? Anyway, so there's a couple of things you can do. You can freeze things. So you can go ahead and make spaghetti, eat it for a couple of days, and then freeze the rest. And then 2 weeks from now, you've got some stuff, right? So you can absolutely do that. If you're trying not to even have those things in the house, you could pick up some healthy options from out and just have it in your house for that meal if you want to do that as well. And then, because I understand it's like, I don't want to have such a big amount, right? Because it's like, I don't mind cooking for myself and I don't mind eating those things. I just don't want to have so much food. So freezing is probably the option for you. Oh yeah. Dina's got an idea for freezing. Of course you do. Dina's our foodie, resident foodie. I also don't want to eat spaghetti. Yeah. So it's like, I think your sentence, my sentence will be, you do you, boo. Like when he's talking about carbs and macro, or you could even say, I'm so glad I'm not doing that. It looks like a lot of fucking work. And I'm so glad I'm over here eating what I want. I had to cut shit out, following doable hunger, living my best life over here. I mean, you could say something like that. You do you. I'm doing me. Isn't it great that we can both find something that we love and works for us? And we're not forcing the other person to do the thing? That's amazing. Like, how many times have y'all tried to diet together in the past? Y'all figured out what you were gonna do, and everybody just, did their own thing. Like, y'all were all on some bullshit that y'all didn't eat, anybody didn't want to be on, and y'all are cheating, eating food behind each other's back. Does it sound like me? It sounds like me because that's what I've done in the past. But I mean, there's a way to be supportive. You are being very supportive. Y'all are both living under the same roof, doing two different things to get the same result. And that is amazing because what works for him is not going to work for you. And what works for you is not going to work for him. I love it. It might be thoughts here too that I'm not as successful since I've gained back a little and I'm working on that. Yeah. And first of all, men lose weight. It is scientifically proven faster than women. We are never going to beat a man at a weight loss competition. It's never going to happen. They are, I mean, you know, this ain't going to happen, number one. And number two, yes, he is losing weight fast. He has cut out every fucking carb. If you cut out carbs, you would too. But we've done that in the past, probably, Holly, if I had a guess. And it didn't help you sustain weight loss. Plus, science is now showing that women need carbs. That is not good for us to cut out carbs at all. So, I mean, that's what you can also tell yourself. I'm doing it my way. I'm creating a relationship that can include every food that I love and learn how to have a normal relationship with it. I mean, that is great self-talk right there. And that's what you can work on telling yourself. Melanie says, I'm wondering if I'm doing too much. I keep messing with the same few pounds up and down. I'm also trying to work on my overspending along with overeating. Could this be affecting my weight loss goals? Because I should be focused only on one, which would be weight loss. But overspending doesn't really have anything to do with overeating. I think you can work on both actually at the same time. But let's see. I would make sure that you're spending more time with Corinne, number one, like that podcast in your ear all the time. But you know, your ability to spend money doesn't have anything to do with eating when you're hungry and stopping at enough. Because the weight loss part of it does not take a ton of time. You just take 3 to 5, you know, 3 minutes, write your plan, and then just all during the day, am I hungry? Have I had enough? Am I hungry? Have I had enough? And then the thoughts are the same. I'm telling you, overspending and overeating thoughts are probably the same. So when you work on one, you can kill two birds with one stone. You can say, you probably think about food and overspending. A little bit won't hurt. Just this one thing. I'll do better tomorrow. I'll start over later, but it's special. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get this again. All of the same thoughts. So take those thoughts that you're having about overspending and overeating and apply it to the other. And the other thing too is if you're overspending and you really want to work on it, take the discovery worksheet that we have on the helpful worksheets page under resources. If you overspend, fill it out. Kieran said, you just did my entire Amazon and Temu shopping thought, which also applies to food, right? Let's see, Rachel, would it be helpful to plan an evening tea in addition to my snacks, then work on refining it down to just eat just the tea? That sounds great to me. I know you just talked about planning and grabbing snacks, at once to have in the evening, and that is my goal. Yes, I think that's great. A lot of people love to have like a decaf, well, me. I'm talking about me. I'm saying a lot of people, Rachel, like it's a lot of people, but it's really just me. I love a decaf chai tea. I love chai tea and I love a decaf chai tea. And it makes my heart happy. Makes my heart so happy. And sitting down at the end of the night with that just puts a period on the end of my day. And I love that so much. I'm getting to head to Hawaii next Thursday. You know, Dina was raised in Hawaii. You should ask her for some fun places to go. Because, you know, it's, well, may not be the same place in Hawaii, but you know, she's from Hawaii. For a little over 2 weeks. Dina goes for 2 weeks when she goes too. Y'all need to connect and talk to one another because she's got all the tips and tricks for you. I'm working on my vacation protocol because I know I will realistically not be writing a plan. Love it. However, I do not want to or plan to go hog wild. Any good ideas to put on my vacation protocol? I'm going to tell y'all, here is my vacation protocol. It is so simple. I'll tell you what it is. When I was doing private coaching, I gave it to all of my private clients. They have all used it, whatever. First thing you need to decide, ahead of time. Do I want to gain weight? Because you can give yourself permission to gain a few pounds. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't no shame in that game. Do I want to maintain my weight or do I want to lose weight on this 2 weeks vacation? So first question you've got to answer, because you got to have a destination before you can set a protocol, right? Got to know where you're going so you can figure out how the hell to get there. So, and if it is gain weight, if I was going to Hawaii for 2 weeks, it would probably be no more than a 5 pound weight gain for me. That would be my goal. I'd not want to gain more than 5 pounds. That would be my goal. So there's that. And then this is how I always did my vacation protocol. Based on that, what do you, I did a good, better, best protocol. So you'll learn the good, better, best method inside the No BS Weight Loss course if you haven't yet. So I decided how many good foods I was going to have every day. Good foods also includes drinks. So don't be, you know, jonesing when you're like, oh, fuck MJ, what the hell? So if I was going to gain 5 pounds, I would probably tell myself 8 good foods a day. So that includes drinks. That includes whatever. Now, I don't have to eat all 8, right? Or drink all 8. But I would always allow myself a certain amount of good foods. And the rest would be better and best. And here's what I found out when I did that. I'd say I was going to have 8 foods, like drinks and whatever. And we're going to be sitting by the pool. And I know I'm going to have a few drinks there. So that's like 4 or 5, you know, whatever, throughout the whole course of the day. Between like a mimosa at breakfast, honest, and sitting at the pool, a couple drinks, then a couple drinks at dinner, whatever. You add it all up over like a, you know, a 12-hour, 16-hour period. So I would get to breakfast and I would see the pancakes, which would be a good food. And I'd be like, oh, what if they have a good dessert for dinner? Oh, I don't know what they're going to have for dinner. Those pancakes worth it, or I want to wait and see what comes later. So then I would kind of wait and I would make a different choice for breakfast and I'd still have all 8. And then that's sort of how I did my vacation protocol. And you get to decide, like, that's how I've always done it. And every day I would still write down, like, you know, ever how many good foods, like 5 good foods today. The rest are better and best. Get your water in. No alcohol before you get your water in. Like, that's my vacation protocol. I don't have to worry about writing a plan. I don't have to stress out about where we're going or what we're eating. And it helps me still feel very much in control. Very much, it makes me mindful of the choices that I'm making. And it is so helpful for me. So if it's helpful for you, you know. And then Dina says her tip is the power of visualization. How do I want to feel during and after, and rehearse all the things that may come up and how I want to show up? It's a great one. That's a great tip, Dina. And then Suzanne says, how many good foods if you want to maintain? It really just depends on each individual person. I have done a maintenance trip before where I included like 4 good foods a day, and then I did not gain weight on my trip. Yeah, Corinne does have a great visualization on 365. So, well, dang, I kept y'all over. I channeled my inner Korean today. And enjoy Hawaii, Kelly. God bless. Post pictures in the Facebook group so we can live vicariously through you, because I do want to go to Hawaii. Oh, look, Dina said aloha. I love it. All right, y'all. Have a great rest of your day. I will see y'all in the Facebooks. Dina will see y'all in Ask Coaches. Let us know if you need anything. Bye, y'all.